Today I'm talking with Miss Erin Maxwell, the Soul Igniter, about the Yamas and Niyamas. The Yamas and Niyamas are two of the eight limbs of yoga. It's a good way to look at your life both internally and externally and just give you some guidelines to look at. So I hope you enjoy the conversation. We'll see y'all on the other side. All right, welcome back to our show. Today sitting across from me is Erin Maxwell. Dear friend of mine, I've known Erin since pretty much I started my yoga career, yoga taking and teaching. Erin is a soul igniter, which I just fucking love because you do. You've ignited my soul since I met you. You have done just a litany of body movement and awareness trainings, from yoga trainings to Pilates. I mean, you've done a lot of stuff, right? Yeah. Meditation trainings, like all kind of stuff. And recently created your own business called Max Wellness, which is a beautiful play off your last name, Erin Maxwell.
Thank you.
Yep. Girl, I'm so happy to sit here with you and see your face.
Me too.
I mean, we've been trying to do like a Zoom call or something. I'm like, no. We'll get you in here. Yeah. You're coming to town. Thank you so much for being here, love.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. It's an honor.
And so you moved to California, what, a couple years ago, 5 years ago?
Well, the second round, let's see, Northern California, 3 years ago. Okay. So just right before the pandemic.
Okay. All mm-hmm. right. Mm-hmm. And was that, when did Max Wellness kind of, I know you've been talking about and kind of figuring out what you wanted to do with like your brand and your business for a while.
Yeah. So I've been practicing massage and body work for over 22 years and I love it. It's my passion. It is one of my purposes. And I was kind of getting bored, if you can say that. You know, just needed more. I just needed something more to light me up. And that's really then the yoga came in. I'd been practicing on and off from the time I went to massage schools when I started yoga. And then just weaved in and out and then went to the teacher training. Mm. The yoga teacher with Danielle, and then
We did the not same class, but we did the same teacher training.
Right. Yeah. So I went that through her with that, and then I ended up having knee surgery soon after that, and so it gave me a lot of time to think about things and what I was doing and where I was going. So it was like I had this idea that had been swirling around for almost 8 years now, and slowly started teaching on the side with private clients. I came out of training, and this is just totally me. I came out of training feeling that I was not prepared, that I wasn't ready. Felt like that imposter syndrome,
right.
And I don't know enough, and being in front of people was terrifying.
Oh my gosh.
So, you know, took kind of the safe route and did one-on-one clients,
okay,
which was really great. It was beautiful for so many different reasons. And then did do some teacher or real class, you know, in a classroom kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. And then kind of soon after that is when I fell in love and packed up and moved to San Francisco of all places.
There you go.
And so then I was there, you know, just I had to get my license back in California, and that is a long process, and my massage license, and had like three jobs. Like first I didn't do anything. Like my first few months in the city, I literally was my job to figure out where the hell I was on the map. I am not a city girl. So it was
here.
A total shock to the system. Mm. You know, all my alarms were just in super high, like fight or flight mode constantly. Mm. Just, I literally would cry. I was two blocks away from home once then when I first got there, and I could take you anywhere in the woods.
Right.
But in the city, it all looked the same. And I was like, I don't know where I am.
The concrete jungle.
Yeah. I was like, oh, you know, now I'm like, psh, psh, psh. So, you know, that gave me the time and the space to be able to really create. And I met with this woman in the city. I would run down, it's 3 miles from my house. And I would meet with her, and she really got the ball rolling. And then I was working at a yoga studio at the front desk and two massage places and really starting to kind of get my feet in the ground there and meet people and
start developing the community.
Exactly.
And all that stuff, yeah.
Start that. And then all of a sudden, boom, everything shut down. And so it was like, okay, now what, you know, now what? Well, I have this yoga skill. So I need to do something with it. And everything went online. So again, quickly had to learn how to use a computer.
Yeah, which is, you know, that's such a struggle for a lot of yogis, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of my training has been, you know, corporate training. I've got a lot of like structure with that, computer work, things like that. But working in yoga studios for as long as I have, a lot of what is attractive to the practitioner or the teacher to come to a yoga studio is you don't have to deal with technology. It's a human being. You're a human. You're teaching humans. You have some music. You have some heat. But outside of that, there's not really technology involved.
Right.
So when we switched to Zoom, it threw a lot of people for a loop because like, shit, now I'm an IT guy.
Right. Like, fuck, I'm an IT. I'm a marketer.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It was intense. And luckily, see, everything's for a reason. It just, every path leads to the next one that just leads to the next one, to the next. And if you can just be open enough, and I say, you know, I always teach of, can you hold your Jello like this with a closed fist, or can you hold your Jello with an open palm?
Mm-hmm.
So when I start to squeeze and my Jello starts to ooze, then like, let that shit go.
Uh-huh.
And so I had to let that shit go. But I met this girl, Marissa. I'm going to just give a shout out to Marissa at a Tune and a Line, because she was a yogi, a teacher. She taught me technology. She taught me how to build my website.
Oh, great.
She taught me how to turn on my computer.
There you go. Step one.
Literally, she gave me a list. She was like, okay, you're serious about this. She gave me a list. You're going to go to the Apple store, and this is what you're going to buy.
Oh, wow.
And I went to this.
Parts list, everything.
Yeah, everything. And I went to the guy. I was like, this is my first time. So be gentle and just whatever's on this list, please.
Oh, that's so great.
Here's my card.
Yep. Please, please do me right. I trust you.
He was awesome.
That's great.
Yeah, I got some free stuff. I'm not going to lie.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, just switching to Zoom. And actually, it was really great because a lot of my contacts were still here up in Washington.
Yeah.
So it was a great way to pivot. And so just working with her and really, you know, unfolding and sifting through. And then I'm also now working with, so I flip-flop between the two girls, Jay Menz. Woo! I'm going to shout out to her because really helped me get clear.
Mm-hmm.
And hypnotherapy, which that is a whole nother, I think,
I didn't know you stepped into hypnotherapy.
I really want to do some training.
Okay.
It has, anybody out there, you do some hypnotherapy. That is amazing.
Yeah.
Like all that deep, deep stuff that I felt that has been released and these stories, whether it's from childhood to through adulthood or whatever. And it's just another beautiful way to...
Wow.
Let that shit go, man.
Let that shit go.
I hope it's okay. Sorry out there, everyone. I dropped.
This is a fully explicit podcast. We will say all the curse words eventually. It's all good.
I'm more of a namaste, bitches.
Right, exactly.
Kind of a yogini. So I'll tell it to your raw.
Hell yeah.
Salt of the earth. So just, you know, I'm in a mastermind group and the girls know I do not play Aaron Maxwell's tapes live in the car with my daughters because I know there's going to be some F-bombs. So I'm just warning.
There you go. You got to keep it real. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Well, with, you know, I wanted to say something about 200-hour trainings. And, you know, because that's the max level I've reached. I've done the 200-hour ERYT.
Mm-hmm.
I've gotten some, what are they, honorary 500 hours from a couple schools that I've helped out with, you know, but the 200-hour teacher training for yogis, I hear this a lot, like that people come out, they're like, I don't feel ready. I don't feel like I got enough.
Right.
And I think that's very common because there's so much information to have. And especially if you are entering it in, even if you have a little understanding going into it, you know, but a lot of people that I've worked with just take a class and they're like, I love this. I want to do this.
Right.
And then all of a sudden now you're immersed in A to Z yoga philosophy,
right.
The asana practice, everything. the 200 hour is like an associate's degree. Like, it'll get you where you need to be. It'll get you comfortable to a point, basic philosophy, basic understanding of the movement practice. But after that, like, that's where your teaching comes in. That's where your, like, curiosity starts to come in and say, like, you know, what's up with these, like, yamas and niyamas? What's up with these eight limbs? What's up with this, you know, this portion of what I just learned? And that's your opportunity to dive in deeper, whether individual from your own learning or to take a 500-hour course.
Right.
But yeah, I think, you know, there's, and, you know, it's funny because you had your, in your notes to talking about, like, expansions and things like that. One of the things with teacher trainings that I've found recently is that I think teacher trainings are trying to shove too much in.
Right.
Like, it's like a yin, a vinyasa, and a hatha practice in a 200 hour. And that seems really good because it's an affordable price.
Right.
But the amount of information that you're pushing into the human being in that 200 hours is kind of fucking dangerous.
Yeah. It's well, when I went for my 300 training, I went to Bali and...
Oh, good for you.
Yeah. Oh, it was amazing. Yeah. There's always a, like, it's either there was this guy.
All right.
A lot of stories start with once upon a time there was this guy. And I think it was something like that. And so I just saved up some money and said, F it. And I needed more training. I felt like I needed more training. And when I got there, I the very first day I just cried because I thought, oh my God, I am way over my head. I have no idea what they're talking about. Why do all these people seem to know what they're talking, you know, like things that I'd never heard of. And I was like, did I miss something in my training? Did we not go? I mean, you know, you absorb, I always say it's like sticky rice. You know, you just kind of throw it all out there and whatever sticks.
Oh, yeah.
When you need to hear it, you know, you take it and all the rest just kind of falls away. And maybe in the back of your mind later, it might pop up. So, you know, it was 5 weeks.
Holy cow. 5 weeks in Bali,
5 weeks, 6 days a week, 6 a.m. to what? 7:30 p.m. You know, we'd get some breaks in between. In silence, we'd go into silence. Can you imagine? Me in silence.
Aaron Maxwell, noble silence, huh?
I know.
Holy shit.
It was
the practice in itself.
I literally could feel my fingernails growing. It was by the end, because we were in silence for five or six days straight. So every day we would go into silence. I'm jumping around. We go into silence from like 8 p.m. until 11 or noon the next day.
Okay.
So we would still have to show up, be ready on our mat at 6 a.m. in the shala room. And then we do meditation, breathing, meditate for an hour, breathe for an hour, do some chanting, asana practice for an hour and a half, lunch or breakfast, and then so then at noon when we reconvened, then you could start talking.
Wow.
Yeah, so that whole morning total in silent, but oh my, and then to be in the rice fields, it was just heaven. It literally was heaven. And the fifth week we're in total silence, and I was just like, I can feel my fingernails growing. Holy shit, is this what they're talking about? And it was just like, it was amazing to, you know, to be that still and that silent.
Yeah.
And I said, like, in the beginning, it was like all the thoughts were in the forehead, eye area. You know, it was just like pong, 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 just thoughts, just ping ponging. And by the end, it was like in the back of the head and just so much quieter, like organized. Like everything was on a shelf in its right jar, in its right, you know, like just shh. And we would have, you know, I'd go walk in the rice fields and I'd gather flowers and put them in my hair. And, you know, you weren't supposed to talk or look at anybody. So I would just drop flowers on everyone's mat
sweet.
Like just smile. And, you know, some people that, you know, just furrow brow. And I was like, am I missing something? Because.
Mon and I did a Vipassana. We've done a couple of Vipassanas now. And that's it. You know, everybody's like, they're in their own shit, you know, looking at their shoes. And, you know, they're the moments where you can find light in those and then spread that light is so important because everybody is so in their own shit with those things.
Totally. Yeah.
The first 10 day that I did, I think it was around day 8. First 7-8 days, I was just miserable. Like, I thought about running. I thought about leaving. I didn't want to be there. Was definitely going through some shit. But around day 8, I finally found, like, okay, Like I'm feeling good. We're doing some work here. And I just finished a, we meditated for about 11 hours a day, not straight, but just right. broke it up. And right. we just finished about a 2-hour meditation in the hall. And the only thing we can do outside of meditating and sleeping is walking. There's right. no yoga, there's no exercise, there's no writing, no reading, nothing, just right. walking and meditating.
Right. Right.
And so we have these walking paths by the men's hall, and I'm walking, and I decide to go into the woods. And as soon as I step into the woods, it's like ultra HD just kicked in. And I could hear this sound, and it sounded like in Crocodile Dundee, when Crocodile Dundee goes up to the top of the ridge and starts to make a phone call. He's like, I gotta make a phone call. And he takes that little boomerang thing and starts whipping it around. Right? That's the sound that I heard.
Wow.
And I felt this wind coming down from me. I'm like, what the hell is that? And I look up and there's a crow about 20 feet above me flying, and I could feel the wind from its wings
wow.
flapping down. And when I looked up, I looked at this branch, and the branch like grew into my face, like HD, like this
wow.
is what this branch, you know, it's so like cellular.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was such a beautiful moment. Like that was the most tapped in I've ever felt in my entire
right.
life. And I probably spent about an hour in the woods just looking at shit.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, to that point, like when we silence ourselves down and we can really quiet the internal thoughts.
Right.
There's magic in there.
There's
so much magic in there.
There's the universe right there.
Yes.
Or
yes.
I call it the House of Fawns.
I love that. I love House. Where did that come from? I just meant to ask you about that. Where the hell did a House of Fawns come from?
Family Guy.
Family Guy. Oh, Peter Griffin, you fucking brilliant bastard.
I have to give where credit is due.
That's great.
But honestly, you know, because it's in the teachings, you know, so within Max Wellness, I've created different programs and just like my understanding and kind of a way to make it sense and not be so scary.
Yeah. Good.
You know, because I call it the 8 paths of love versus the 8 limbs.
Mm, okay.
So, you know, I'm definitely borrowing. And then it's a little bit of that Max Wellness twist, you
yeah.
know? So, you know, when I'm talking about samadhi, because I have a lot of people that will say that are religious of maybe like a Catholic
okay.
or, you know, so I don't want to offend anyone. And I have had people say, you know, you really shouldn't do yoga. You know, it's against God. It's,
right.
you know, and I'm like, well, actually,
right.
it has brought me closer to God,
right.
to the big G.
Yep.
You know, we have my God and I, we have our own understanding,
right.
you know, so
yeah.
I called the House of Fawns because it's like, I don't care if it's a rock, if it's big G God, if it's the House of Fawns.
Right.
You know, so
Hell
whatever
yeah.
you want to believe in, however you want to go down this path, and you could go down this philosophical path, you could make it a religion, you could, you know, how,
right.
to me, it's how much you want to put it. Some people, they have no idea what these other limbs are,
mm-hmm.
you know, or they just think that breathing is part of the yoga, which is really the asana class that we attend.
Right, yeah.
You know, or you think of meditation is just, but not really seeing the foundations. And that's why I like laying out these 8 paths so you can see how they stack on one over the other.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, really it's like, holy crap, I didn't realize that meditation was so far down the line in the paths.
Right.
All the way to what, 7?
Mm-hmm.
Where I always thought it would have been first or second.
Right. That's where we start.
Meditation. That's where we start.
Yeah.
But totally. Then you get into the yamas and niyamas, and then you're like, oh, right.
Mm-hmm.
I have to clear my shit first.
And so much shit comes up in meditation.
And so much
God
shit.
Damn.
You got it. So I think of it as the yamas and niyamas to me are, take it with a grain of salt, the 10 commandments.
Right.
It's kind of, you know, it's the saucha, it's the cleaning, it's the steya, the you know, keeping truthful, the non-stealing, the
mm-hmm.
the brahmacharya, you know, so it's the whole balance of it all. So it's like clear the decks,
yep.
clear your internal deck, clear your external deck.
Mm-hmm.
Outernal. You'll learn a whole new language,
hell
too.
Yeah. You can make up words, use them with confidence.
Oh, yeah.
They're words
oh,
now.
Yeah. What did my mom say the other day? It was just like, she said it so confidently. I was like, That might be actually be a word.
Well, you know, when once frenemy entered into the Webster dictionary, I think anything's go.
Yeah, yeah, actually, go when now. The word don't.
Don't.
We knew we were on a downhill spiral.
Homer Simpson, no, man. No. Goddamn. You know, there's a guy I listened to a while back. I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but he was talking about the difference between religion and spirituality in his eyes.
Right.
And I really liked his approach to it. And I'm not trying to offend anybody with the religious backgrounds because, mm-hmm. you know, religion, for as jaded as it may be, a religion still has a lot of good.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like religion,
yep.
organized religion, does have potential to show good, to
yep.
have good, and to be good. But
absolutely.
this gentleman was saying that, in his opinion, religion is like, hey, here's this book of rules, follow them or you go to hell. Spirituality is like, hey, here's bubble wrap. You got a bunch of bumpers up, gonna fuck up. Just try not to fuck up too bad.
Yep.
Make me proud.
That gave me chills. Yeah.
You know, and that's, you know, it's like, we're
right.
gonna fuck up. You
right.
know, and as a 42-year-old human being, the best advice I got was from a man named Jeff Morgan. He was he was one of my first mentors as a general manager. And he told me, I would rather you fuck up 1,000 times mm-hmm. than never fuck up at all, because you learn so much from your mistakes.
Right.
And if you learn from them, it's not a mistake. It's a learning opportunity.
Right.
And
right.
then you take that and you apply it to the next time.
Right.
So yes, in religion, you can ask for forgiveness from God, and that's great. But you can also just be like, hey, I'm a human living a human life. I'm going to make fucking mistakes because I got these weird brain chemicals that start to activate at certain times, whether
right.
I realize it or not. And now I'm angry, or now I'm sad,
right.
or now I'm depressed. Right?
Right.
So we don't always show up the way we want to. But that's spirituality. We are the human being that we're made to be. We're going to show up the best we can.
Right.
And if we fuck up, we're going to learn from that and move on.
Right.
You know, it's like this whole repentance thing and like walking, crawling on your knees to be forgiven by God
right.
and all these things that we used to do in the past and that some people still practice now, like asceticism.
Right.
You know, whip yourself 20 times for the evil thought that you just had, or you touched your penis. Now go fucking sit in a dark room for 24. Like,
right.
what the fuck is that? It's
right.
my body.
I would always be in the dark room.
I know. Yes. I just live in the dark now, apparently.
I just live in the dark and
Christ.
Create my own life.
So, yeah,
can't take me down.
Really love that, just that analogy. You know,
yeah.
it's like, hey, here's your
right.
rule book. You can follow it. But also, here's just some guidelines.
Right.
You know,
you know what? You just said it. I always say guidelines. Even the clock when I do massage, I'm like, it's a guideline.
Right.
So if you need to be out by a certain time, you got to let me know now, or else, because like when I walk in, I need to be done at this time. I'm just like, you cause the most stress in my life. This is massage.
Exactly.
You need to relax.
I just I went in for a 90-minute massage the other day, which was fantastic. My friend Colleen gave me a massage, and it ended up being 2 hours. And it was
right.
the best, most painful 2 hours of my life.
Right,
you know,
right.
but the oh my God. It's, and that's it. You know, when you go for that body stuff and that relaxation stuff, you know, what I found for me is to try not to give myself a timeline for it.
Right.
You know, let myself be there in that moment, experience the
right.
humanness of that exact moment,
yeah.
and just embrace it.
Yeah, yeah. It's a guideline.
Yep.
You know, like when I first started, I remember one of my teachers saying that, you know, I had some teachers that were like, you start and you end at this time.
Hmm.
And I had another, my mentor, and I kind of followed along with her where it was this place of healing and I could come in and talk.
Mm-hmm.
And I could cry, especially when I was first going through it, you know, so she always had a box of Kleenex for me. And
yeah.
so it was therapy. It was not just like talk therapy. It was that whole body mind connection. And really what I find when I sit and talk with people and, you know, first thing, how's your body? How you're
mm-hmm.
doing? What's going on? Every single time, you know, because every day is different. Your body's going to be different. Your mind, water, all the different factors, kind of a thing. So I don't even know where I'm going with this.
I'm
down the rabbit hole.
I feel that a lot. And when I do intakes now, that talk therapy is so important just to get people opened up.
Right.
But also, I've taken this from Mariko, a good friend of mine who's a acupuncturist.
Mm-hmm.
Take their pulse.
Right.
Take your pulse. Right. How is your pulse feeling today? Is it a steady pulse? Is it erratic?
Right.
And not to judge. You know, none of this is ever to judge.
No,
like, how are you feeling?
It's information.
I feel like shit.
You're
know?
Just
it's not
collecting.
Like I'm judging you. Exactly.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
That's how can I best build that picture of you?
Right.
In my
how
head?
So when I put my hands on you, I know it's more than just why is this shoulder up into your ear? You know, oh, because you just made an $80 million deal. Whatever. You know,
totally.
Like whatever it could be. You're 16-year-old daughter is pregnant, you know, I mean, it could be anything. So,
yeah.
You know, and they're like, oh, it was because I was doing this. And it's like, well, actually,
yeah,
it's because you have all these X factors outside of that. So, like I said, go down that rabbit hole.
Well, I mean, you alluded to one of the things I wanted to talk to you about today is the yamas and niyamas.
You're right.
And so the yamas and niyamas are internal and external ways to kind of look at your life. It's about five each. And like you said earlier, they're almost like the Ten Commandments of not yoga, but, you know, the yogic practice and stuff.
Right. Just being a human being. I think just really, for me, that's why I love the eight paths or the eight limbs. It's really just a guideline of, I think, what we already internally, instinctively know. And it's a way to have this guideline and path to follow along to keep yourself in check.
Right, right. They're kind of like, you know, like the archetypes, right?
Right.
The archetypes, if you look at your life and you look at your humanity and you see these archetypes, you can see the stories kind of manifest. And it's very similar with these yamas and niyamas.
Yeah.
And like you mentioned, the yamas and niyamas are part of the eight limbs of yoga. So the full eight limbs of yoga are the yama, niyama, asana, which is a body posture, pranayama, which is breath control, pratyahara, which is withdrawal of the senses, dharana, concentration, dhyana, meditation, and samadhi bliss, right? So those are the eight limbs, basically, of yoga.
Right.
There's a lot in those eight limbs.
Right.
There's a ton of information.
Ton.
And we will go there someday. But today, we're just talking about the yamas and the yamas. And, you know, it's as much as I love these, I don't give them enough time. And it's on always on my to-do list to dive into the yamas and niyamas in a special way. I read a book recently where this the author was talking about how they spent a month in each one of these.
Wow.
And really dove into, like, you know, every month I focused on not stealing ahimsa.
Right, right.
And how that affected that person's life. And then it also rippled through their family. And it's a beautiful practice.
Right. And it can, go ahead, because we'll dive into deeper. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, so with the yamas, so it's like an internal thing, right? So how are we internally showing up? What's our discipline for the internalness of that? And with the yamas, the first one that starts off is ahimsa. And so what I wanted to do today is just a brief overview of what the yamas and niyamas were. These words are in Sanskrit. And so I will butcher some of these words.
Absolutely.
I'm just going to say that right away. I will try my hardest. And I've been saying these words for years, but I will still butcher them.
Yep.
Right. So I apologize for anybody out there that knows how to.
I apologize as well. And I feel like that is part of it, though. And that's part of the embodying it is fucking up on how to say it to really embody and get it.
Yep.
What is, you know, there is a reason. There is a reason in my mind. Why am I stumbling on this word?
Right. Exactly.
Right? So
it's like, if you listen to the advice you always give your friend, that's the advice you need to take yourself.
Right.
Right.
Right. Totally. Or if somebody's irritating me, I'm like, ooh, check that mirror. Cause that might be something I'm doing.
Trauma trigger, son of a bitch. So starting off with the yamas, so ahimsa is the first one. So ahimsa is non-harming.
Non-harming.
And, so non-harming to self, non-harming to others. And again, you know, like that can really dial into the rest of these too. Truthfulness, stealing.
Mm-hmm.
But so for me, God, man, I think the biggest one that stands out for me with this one, and this was a very unintentional one, but I think the emotional harm I did to my kids through the separation with their mom.
Right.
That was a young age. My oldest was five. My youngest was like 6 months old, almost one. And there was no intention of harm to be done.
Right.
There was a very conscious intention of, okay, this isn't working. Somebody's got to do something. I'm going to pull the trigger. In a few years, we'll get better. But right now it's going to suck.
Right.
So it was a very conscious decision on my end, but there's still, like, it's been 12 years and we're still unraveling some of the pain and suffering that went from that.
Right. Right.
So non-harming isn't always intentional. But it just happens sometimes,
yeah.
You know? And so I think the other side of this is, you know, when the harm does happen, how do you show up?
Right.
What's your recovery?
Right. Well, that's, you know, it's a, another Chuckism. My dad is, God, there's so many, is, you know, he'd always say, I'm doing the best that I can with what I've got.
Right.
And as a kid, I'd be like, such a fucking cop out. It's like, then do better.
Right.
And then, of course, as time and experience and life marches on, it's like, I finally understand what that means, you know, because it was like, yeah, he was doing the best that he could with what he had and what he knew.
Right.
And didn't realize that there was another way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And to look outside of that, outside of himself, outside of our family, whatever right. it is, because there was a lot of non-intentional harm that did affect both, well, all of us, the whole family, and himself included, you know, and just seeing later now how that's manifested and how he deals with things and my reactions and how I deal with things and my sister, and the same, you know, with your kids, it was like, it wasn't intentional.
Right.
It just, that's what was. And like you just said, now it's a way to come back and see the damage that's done and show up and be there and listen, actually, and actively listen to what that person says. And then you have the choice to decide for forgiveness or, you know, to let it go or to hang on to it. You know, sometimes just because that person's ready to, you know, make amends doesn't mean
we're ready to accept it.
Right.
Totally.
Right.
Yeah.
And as that person, you just have to sit and wait now.
And that's part of that journey.
Yeah.
You know,
and that's the tough part. That's where the work really comes in.
Yeah. I'm there with my oldest.
Yeah.
We're working through it, but it's tough. You know, I can,
yeah.
She's finally to an age where she can put vocabulary to the feelings she's been having.
And
I got to hold space for that.
Yeah.
And it's hard. That's like you said, that's a journey on my end now.
Right.
You know, she's finding her way to talk about it. I got to find my way to live it
right.
and to embrace it
right.
and to not defend it.
Give her the space and the time
yep.
to get there.
Yeah.
And what a beautiful gift at such a young age already, though, that you are working on this instead of, you know, as a 47-year-old laying on the couch doing hypnotherapy. Going, oh, shit, man.
Got to get in front of this harm shit.
I thought that was gone. Nope.
I know. And there's so many times I've felt like I've gotten past something in my healing journey, and all of a sudden, like a couple years later, it just smacks me in the face.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, you again, huh?
Oh, all right. Oh, yeah, I guess I'll pay attention to this lesson again.
And there's so, then again, like a lot of these kind of coexist with each other.
Right.
They can kind of like play off one another.
Right.
And so with Satya, with that truthfulness, you know, having that truthfulness. And sometimes with this one for me, when I found myself not being truthful, it was because I didn't feel they were ready for the truth.
Right.
And that's very egotistical.
Right.
And if you really dial it down, it's like, I'm ready for the truth, but you're not.
Right.
Right.
Who am I to tell you that you're ready
right.
for something or not? Like, let me decide.
Right.
You don't be the decider for me.
Mm-hmm. And you're taking away the potential for a person's growth moment.
Right.
Right. So you're going to hit them with some questionable news that might jar their world in some kind of way. But you're already planning on how they're accepting that information. And even if they have a tendency to accept information in that way, this is a new opportunity for them to change in a way.
Right.
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 And if you always coddle the people around you and that's not telling them the truth, you know, you're withholding information in some kind of way for whatever reason, you're not letting that person fully develop as a human.
Right.
Right. Give them the opportunity to be upset and then come back and be like, you know what? I got upset because of that information. I'm sorry.
You're stealing from them.
Right. Exactly. You're stealing their opportunity. Definitely. Definitely. You know, and that's a big one for me, you know, that truthfulness. You know, how does that land with you?
Yeah. Well, I was trying to think of when I finally stopped, when I would lie to myself about things and the reality of what it was, so I didn't have to deal with it. And I would kind of call it a screensaver noise almost, because I would kind of go, you know, if something, it like literally, Seriously, if I didn't want to believe it, or I didn't want it to be true, yeah. or I knew that I did something that I shouldn't, you know, let's not shit on ourselves, but you know, yeah. like, you know, yeah. And I would, I'd go, and so it was like, no, that didn't happen. I didn't just lie to that person or holding that lie and thinking about that lie and thinking I need to get this out so it doesn't manifest into something else.
Right.
And then, no, I'm not ready to deal with it.
Screensaver. You know, that truthfulness too with the self, you know, when we lie to ourselves, let's take like, I'm going to go to yoga later, right?
Yeah.
All day long, I'm like, I'm going to go to yoga. I'm planning it out. And then 5 o'clock rolls around, 5:30 class. I'm like, I'm not going to go to yoga.
Right.
Create excuses, whatever it is. Again, we can justify that. We can justify it internally. But deeper down, subconsciously, you've just lied to yourself.
Right.
And your body on a cellular level knows that.
Right.
And so now if you know you can't trust yourself, how are you going to trust humans around you?
Exactly.
Right. And so that's why, you know, be truthful with yourself.
Yeah.
Make those commitments and keep those commitments.
Right.
You know? And then by doing that, you can see the humanness in other people because you realize how hard it is to keep commitments.
Right.
Because if you can't keep, if it's that hard to keep it with yourself and you know what's going on in that head, think about the other person on the other side of you that's having thousands of thoughts you don't even realize,
right.
putting together information in ways that you never would, and might see your lying to yourself as something completely different.
Right.
Right. And
right.
so, man, really honor that stuff. Honor those truthfulness.
Yeah.
You know, it creates a big, big bridge for yourself and for others.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
I concur. It's true.
So next is asteya. Mm-hmm. So asteya is non-stealing. So non-stealing from self, from others. I had a couple examples earlier for that. But you know, again, it's really being honest with yourself, with who you are. Stealing time from other people.
Right.
You know, stealing ideas, you know, stealing thoughts, stealing,
right.
like there's a whole litany of things that we, especially in the West where we appropriate a lot of shit,
right.
you know, we have a tendency to really steal things and not really think about it.
Right. I try to ask, or I'll say, can I borrow this?
Yeah.
Versus trying to take, well, that's why I'm giving, you know, the House of Fonz. I'm giving them credit where credit is due because that's, I mean,
yeah,
I can't take credit for that. I mean, I am genius and funny.
Right.
But, you know,
right,
like,
yeah.
I was just like, oh, right there. That's, thank you, Seth.
Seth Rogen, or Seth
McFarlane.
McFarlane, there you go.
All the Seths.
All the Seths. Goddamn. Yeah, Seth Green, Seth Rogen, you're funny
all
dudes.
Of them,
you're
yeah,
all funny
yeah.
dudes.
You could be my boyfriend. No, I have a good one.
A fiance. Yeah.
A fiance.
So the next one is brahmacharya,
mm-hmm.
and that's the correct use of your energies,
right.
or energy in general.
Yeah. A lot of people, I feel like they confuse that with no sex.
Right. Yeah. I've heard that one a lot.
Yeah.
Most definitely.
Yeah. So it's really, you know, yes. And, you know, again, as you dive into it and look further into, you know, because we just, I think, especially in the West, because they are these foreign words,
mm-hmm.
and then to translate it into a language that we can understand,
right.
you know, and keep it at that one word kind of a thing. I'm not really sure, though, exactly where it came to celibacy.
Right.
I think it, because the word celibacy, so then everyone attaches that to no sex. But
right.
celibacy, if you look at the definition, it is, it's being celibate. It's
yeah.
not... It's kind of going along with the asteya and ahimsa and everything else, not stealing and the time and the,
right, right.
you know, so it, finding that it's more of a balance.
Yes.
It's
yes.
to me, it, I think of it as a balance.
And I think that's with all these things. There's no rules that say, don't do this.
Right.
right? You know, this is just being observant
right.
of, right?
right?
Be observant of not stealing, because sometimes, you know, in, let's take a war-torn area for right now, right?
right?
Let's take, like, if you're in the Ukraine and your city is actively being bombed and you see a store that has goods in it, but nobody's there, and you can go in there and get
right.
some goods and feed your family and be safe for a little bit, technically that's stealing, but it's also surviving.
Right.
Right. And so
right.
there's like, not justifications, but it's really looking at it and saying, right, okay, I'm going to do this thing that would be considered wrong. How am I going to look at this? Can I understand what I'm doing and why I'm doing it? Cool, right, let's move forward,
right,
with that.
And God's not going to punish you, right, for, and yeah, I don't feel, I personally feel like God's not going to punish you anyway. That's, for yeah, me, that's not what his job is.
I agree.
He's there to, I don't know what he's there for, but I just feel like he's not there to judge me. He's there to guide me and hold my hand and be the best person that I can be.
Right.
Because innately, I think, again, we all know the difference between right and wrong. Mm-hmm. I mean, of course, obviously, let's be clear, there are situations, there are chemical imbalances, there are people that are going, right, to be doing things, but in the general population, mm-hmm, I feel like we come into this place, into this earth, into this bag of water, you know, into this bag of water with some bones, uh-huh, thrown in there,
big,
you know,
meat suit.
Yeah, you know, just like this crazy human suit that we're walking around just trying to figure it out, mm-hmm, you know, and it's all energy,
right,
where it's all energy. Yeah. I mean, we're, if you want to go scientific and, you know, like the cells and the mitochondria and the vibration and
yeah,
it's
definitely
all just the internal vibration and energy of it all.
Yeah.
So, you know, how do you want to show up? How do you want to light up? How, mm-hmm, do you want to, you know, have this low energy, low vibe, negative, the world's against me, or fuck, that sucked, but next, you,
yeah,
know,
right,
got that,
yeah,
done. Uh-huh. Let's move on and, uh-huh, and learn from that and grow from that.
Yep.
So
one of my past life experiences with this one that I really like. So my past life, I was a corporate guy for a while. And I had a boss one time.
In this life.
Yeah,
in this real realm.
In this current life, previous to my spiritual
yogic
path.
Journey.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I had a boss tell me one time that, you know, I'd rather get a solid 40 hours a week out of you than a shitty 60.
Right.
Right. And that reminds me of right use of energy all the time. Because,
right,
like, how much are we burning ourselves out and for why?
Right.
Right. Are we just pushing on the gas because that's the way we've been trained? Or are we actually listening to our body and saying, hey, you know what, today I feel like taking a bath and reading a book.
Right.
And are we in a place that we can honor that and do that with,
right,
ourselves, you know?
Yeah.
And that right use of energy is so important to conserve when we don't have it, and to really utilize it when we do have,
right,
it, you know? And that's, again, listening to your body, honoring what comes into,
right,
it, you know, honoring,
right,
where you're at.
Your body knows. Your gut, you know, we'll go down another rabbit hole, but, you know, you know your body. I always say, don't listen to your head. Don't, mm-hmm, listen to your heart. Listen to your gut. Because that's where it all comes from.
Right.
It all starts there. Even from when we're little cells inside the womb, as we've come together, the way we literally unfold, pulling our heads out of our ass.
Right.
Out of your belly. You know, that's the gut biome right there.
Mm-hmm.
So really, you know, that's why we get butterflies for excited. That's why when you are stressed or anxiety, it's all in your gut.
Totally.
So it's like, listen to that, to,
mm-hmm,
listen to that. But because that's where it all is.
Yep. And the more we pay attention to those internal motions, those intuitive moments that we have, the stronger they get.
Right.
Because they know you're listening to them. And they're,
right,
like, oh shit, Aaron's listening. Let's do something else.
Right.
Right?
Let's ramp this up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love the, you know, now that we can put like scientific backing to a lot of the stuff that, you know, a lot of people have just believed.
Right.
You know, they understand now that our bodies have three brains, you know,
right,
it's our heart, our gut, and our brain.
Right.
Right. And,
right,
that's, and actually more information comes into your heart first, what they're finding. And then it gets dispersed either up or down,
right,
depending on what needs to happen.
Right.
It's like, ah,
right,
that's so great. That's why your heart just like flutters at times,
right,
you know, when you're,
right,
around certain people. It's not,
right,
like romantic, all this stuff. It's like, no, you actually
feel
something for,
yeah,
that human being.
Right. And right in through the line of the chakras right,
mm,
there. Right.
Yes.
Right.
I love. Yeah. So when I first learned about the chakras, it was, you know, root to crown.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I started getting deeper into energy work, you know, I love thinking about the heart chakra as your center chakra, and,
right,
everything just spirals around from there.
Yeah.
You know, because then they're all connected, you know, they're all moving in that direction, but they're all anchored by the heart,
right,
which is where we want to think from anyways.
Right. Right.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Love that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
So good.
Mm. Well, the last yama that we have is aparigraha.
Mm-hmm.
And that's generosity.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, you know, and it's not always like giving money, being altruistic, things like that. But, you know, generous with the time, with your knowledge, with your love, with your humanity, you know, how can you be generous to, you know, your child, to a friend, to a random
dog.
God, a fucking dog. Yes.
Yeah. At the dog park. Well, technically it's not a dog park, but we've all made it into a dog park.
Yeah.
And, you know, as my dog was doing her thing and I heard this guy, you know, he's over in his truck. And I heard him coughing, and at first I kind of giggled because I thought he was sneaking a toke on his break.
Because
the cough just sounded just like someone took a big rip, you know. And I was, you know, so I was giggling. I was like, oh, you know, he's taking his 15. And then I realized, you know, and then once I got over that, I was like, oh my God, he's crying.
Oh.
And I was like, holy shit. You know, I go from giggling, thinking, you know, this guy's taking bong rips on his break. Oh, fuck.
Now he's having a moment.
Like, do I walk away?
Yeah.
You know, we're in this society, in this place of, I feel like a lot of people just walk away. It's not my thing. It's not my business. I don't want to get involved. I don't have the time. You know, I mean, again, you can come up with a million things. So I was like, well, I really need to take my dog on a longer walk before the dog walker.
I know. It's like cutting your toenails before getting a pedicure.
Cleaning the house before the maid comes. Yeah. You know, it is. And people are like, you're nuts. But it's a whole other story. So, you know, and it was like, no, this person is, something's going on, you know. So I said, excuse me, are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay? And he finally turned around and, you know, I just went up and just hugged him.
Mm.
I just hugged him. And then, you know, we hugged for a long time. And then I said, what's going on? Cause I came up, I said, can I hug you?
Right.
And he was like, yeah. And so and his mother had just passed away.
Oh, man. Wow.
And she was, I think they were in Mexico.
Mm.
I don't know if he was Guatemalan or if he was from Mexico, because, you know, we were chatting a little bit in my Spanglish and his English. I don't know what you call English, Spanglish. But, you know, so I just sat with him for 20, 30 minutes.
Wow.
And let him process and go through it. And we hugged, and then he, you know, gave treats to my dog. And then we started looking at pictures of our, you know, our dogs, and kind of went down through that. And then, you know, thank you so much. And, you know, we didn't get as far as we wanted on our jaunt, but who cares?
Yeah.
She's going with her dog walker, you know? So, you know, but it was just, I didn't do it to make myself feel better.
Right.
It was just the human thing to do.
Definitely.
You know, just given that.
Aberiger, huh?
Right.
Right. And you know, you said it earlier, we listen to our bodies know what they want to do.
Right.
And your body initially knew immediately, like, we need to go hug that human being.
Yeah.
You know, and it's the consciousness that gets in the way of, like, are we sure we want to do that?
Right.
Is that what if they have a knife?
Is this?
And
then
shit, right? I mean, it's like, no, you want to be a human. That human needs another human. Go be a fucking human to that human.
Right. And put that heart, you know,
yeah.
It was that heart to heart connection, you know, because I did the ass out kind of hug, but, you know, still like that good heart to heart, arm around this stranger, kind of a hug to just give him some love and some peace for that minute of time. So
you need that. That's so beautiful. And it, you know, if you never see that human again, it doesn't even matter.
It doesn't, you know, I work across the street, you know, but we still haven't been. And I, you know, I just, now I look at that house and I just smile. Like, I just try to send the love to him, you know, like, I know you're in there somewhere and I hope I hope that helped. So
that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Gosh. So now we're switching over to the Niyamas, right? So the Niyamas are more external. Right.
Yeah.
And so how are you showing up in life, the people around you, all that fun stuff. Right. So the first one is Saucha, and that's like a cleanliness, purity, clarity kind of idea. You know, cleanliness, you know, there can be physical, like your hygiene, things like that.
Right.
But how clean is your life? Like, how put together, organized? And that doesn't mean like, your definition of organization might be way different than mine.
Right.
Right. Right. Organized to me is like file tabs, color coded, A to Z, blah, blah, blah. Organized to somebody else might just be, it's not on the ground.
Right.
Right. It's on the desk. There's a phone for it. I'll find it. Right. Everything's good. Right. And that's great. You know, if it makes sense to you, it makes sense to you.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But for me, the cleanliness, this Saucha was, when I started my spiritual journey, I had a lot of cleaning up to do. I had a lot of damaged relationships that I put myself into, a lot of damaged relationships that I was the cause of. And I just had a lot of cleaning to do. And that's hard. And I think it's what the ninth step in 12 step is when you make amends.
Right.
And so there was a lot of amends making for me to go back and just to be like, hey, I'm sorry I was that human. And, you know, like our conversation earlier, this isn't for me. This isn't me wanting forgiveness from you.
Right.
If you got it for me, awesome. I'll take it. If not, I'll accept that as well. But I just need you to know that this is the way I feel and the remorse that I have for whatever thing that happened.
The recognition.
Definitely.
Yes, exactly. I recognize that I fucked up.
Yep.
That I was a turd bird, that I...
Yep. It didn't show up the way I wanted to.
It wasn't the good human that I wanted to be. And for whatever reason, you know, I mean, I can think of some times where, you know, I hurt people. They were like the accessory.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it was like you were just, it had absolutely nothing to do with you. It had everything to do with me, my selfishness, my lack of confidence, my depression, whatever, you know, wherever I was. Not that it's an excuse and not that it's going to make you feel any better.
Right, right.
Just recognize that I realized that my actions hurt you.
Right. Hell, I had that. I had a bank charge I've been dealing with. I had an overcharge in Mexico, and I've been trying to fight it since November. It's what, March now, and I called the bank, and I was in a frustrated state, you know, and I did not show up the way I wanted to, and I know it's not this person's fault. They're they're just answering the phone on their end, answering the calls the best they can, but I let my frustration get the best of me, and I kind of laid into this woman a little bit,
right.
And we ended up, you know, the call ended in a cordial way, you know, but I did have to follow up, and I called back a couple of days later, and I was just thinking a lot about that conversation. I just didn't show up the way I wanted to. I felt so bad. And there's like no way I can call back and say, hey, can I talk to Cindy or who the fuck it was? Right. So the woman that I ended up calling the second time and I talked to, and she was equally as sweet. And the person that helped me was very, very sweet the first time. I just was not in a good place.
Right.
But I apologized to her and I'm like, hey, I don't know if there's any way you could ever pass this along, but I was not the nicest person to the last person I spoke with.
Right.
I'm very sorry. I know that you guys are doing the best, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah.
If there's any way you can pass along that remorse that I have, please do. But, you know, and even if, again, it's not that I need to... You know, I'm not going to probably find Cindy and be able to tell her, hey, I'm sorry. She would even remember me. I'm sorry she deals with so many different difficult people.
Right.
But it was just the fact of me, like you said, acknowledging that I didn't show up the way I wanted to and attempting to find reconciliation or something, attempting to clean that up.
Right.
And by doing that, like I'm sweeping out the cobwebs in my own shit. Right. Right? And it's like, I'm not letting the dust build up in that little corner back there. I'm going to get that out because I know how bad it can be.
And, you know, it's funny. Agreed. And like, it was such a minor thing and it happened probably 10 years ago. And this is part of why I don't drink. Mm. It was a birthday and I decided that I was going to drink. I had my two drinks, puked my guts out, but you know, it was my birthday. So I'm going to have a pink martini or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Puked my guts out. And the next day we went out to breakfast. And of course, I was so hungover and I just wanted water. I just wanted water. And it was so busy. It was in Bellevue, which I don't really frequent. I'm just not a Bellevue person.
Yeah.
Nothing against it. Just, I like the woods. And I totally laced into the waitress because she took the water jug. Mm. And I was like, I need that. And she's like, but ma'am, this is the community. And I'm like, but I need it. You know, it was like, can you not see my condition? Like, that I put myself in.
Right.
and my friend, you know, and he just looked at me and he was like, whoa, Maxwell, like you were kind of rude to her. And, you know, but I was like, I'm in Bellevue. They see bigger bitches than me. She can deal with it. I need water.
Right.
You know, and then it was like, damn, he called me out. Like if someone's calling me out. So then I had to go, you know, then I went up and I couldn't find that waitress, you know, she just kept kind of avoiding me. I was like, could you please tell her, you know, and still 10 years later, I still feel bad that I yelled at this little waitress girl. And she probably is like, has, you know, like you're just another Bellevue. Just get, here's your water. Get away from me. You know, but it's just so funny. Like what is it about? I didn't show up. I didn't show up to the beat. And it, like I said, it wasn't her fault that I decided to throw alcohol down my gullet.
Totally. Ego like autopilot, crap. You know, yeah. Get that ego autopilot going. It's like, it's saying shit that it wants. Like, who said that? Fuck.
I know. I'm like, oh, this is why I don't drink. You know, so.
Oh, yeah.
But it is. It's just clean out, like you said, clean out the cobwebs.
Damn straight.
Clean out the cobwebs. Just show up.
Whenever you realize it, there's never too late.
Right.
Damn straight. So the next one is Santosha.
Santosha.
And that's contentment.
Yes. Right?
So contentment. Contentment with your life. Are you happy with where you're at? Are you happy with things around you? You know, is there things that you want to change that are within your control? Can you change those things? You know, how content can you be with the life that you've created? You know, and I don't think that's like settling.
Right.
That's not settling, but that's like an act, like a conscious awareness of I'm going to build this and then I'm going to appreciate it.
Right.
And, you know, I think a lot of times, and I talked to somebody about this a while back, but Western yoga has kind of fallen in this tendency of it's never settled. Mm-hmm. It's never just accepted where it is. What's next?
Right.
Goat yoga, animal yoga, mofo yoga, all these things, naked yoga. Right. Like there's all these interpretations, which are beautiful. I'm not trying to stop the creativity.
Yep. Yeah.
But why are we always trying to push the next thing?
Right.
Like we don't, I mean, yes, that's great that people are trying new shit, but like, I think where we get stuck is that we feel the need to do it. If you're drawn to do it, great.
Right.
But, you know, so many yoga teachers I talk to now that come out of teacher training, they're like, I'm trying to find my niche. Why? You know, you don't need to create a niche.
Right.
You can just, there's a beautiful practices that have been practiced for thousands of years that you can do. People will get a lot from.
Right. And whatever you teach is your niche.
Exactly. Because you're teaching from authentic place.
Because it's exactly. And from that's where that imposter syndrome came from, because coming out of, oh my gosh, she knows so much more. This person does this kind. Right. I can't do a handstand. Mm-hmm. I'm not bendy, you know, I can't do, you know, X, Y, Z. So how can I be a yoga teacher if my hamstrings and my hips are so tight that I can't even do, you know, I can't do that pigeon pose the way that it's quote supposed to be.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
So,
yeah, we got to understand that and teach from that authentic place and be that authentic human.
Right, because you just never, like I was just working with a one-on-one client, a private client, and yeah, she came, her yoga background was more of like, we'll just call it like a Nordstrom kind, you know, it was all about the look and the aesthetic and it was this and then that. And so when she hears people talking about this and that and whatever, you know, it was like, you needed that for where you are at this place and know that where you are and what you're doing right now, you're doing it right.
Yes.
You are doing it right. And out of all the conversation and all the sticky rice that we threw, you know, they threw at her, that was the kernel, you know, that was the, you are doing it right.
Right.
Who says that it's right or wrong? It just is.
It is. Exactly.
It's right or wrong if you know internally, you know that it's right or wrong. So just show up, be present, be authentic, clear your deck.
There you go.
And be content.
Hell yeah.
On where you're at.
I wish it was that easy.
I know. That's why we keep coming to the mat.
You always come back.
The mat, the meditation, the, you know, it's not just the mat. You know, when I say come to the mat, it is the eight paths. It is the eight limbs. That is what the yoga is.
Yeah.
What we practice in the West is the asana, is the movement.
The movement
is the
practice.
Third limb.
Yep.
I get so excited about it. I'm like, because it's all of it. That's why Patanjali. I'm walking up the hills in San Francisco and I'm like, Patanjali, Pentology? Peanut butter and jelly?
Yeah.
I literally sometimes I'll think that I've nailed it and I'm like going up the hill, going to my clients, and I'm like, Patanjali. I'm like, no, maybe it's Pentology. Fuck. It's eight paths of love.
Patanology? The study of General Patton? What the fuck is going on here?
I told you. So I said, you get your own language. You know, if you hear chopped pickle,
uh-huh.
You know that that means hurry the up. Like, let's go. So
whatever gets the point across.
Whatever, you know.
Oh, well, the next one's my favorite because I always mix this up with appetizers, but tapas.
Oh, yes.
Tapas. It's like, tapas. I want to go to a tapas restaurant every time I hear tapas. Like, I'm hungry.
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely.
But for tapas with the niyamas, mm-hmm. it's your discipline and your austerity. Like, how disciplined are you? I think discipline might be a little strong of a word. I think maybe like rituals. Like, what are your rituals? Like, how are you? Are you ritualistic? Do you wake up at a common time? Do you go to bed at a common time? Do you have regular food that you eat at regular times? Is there a consistency to the rhythm of your life?
Right.
I think is more of what that discipline kind of means.
Yeah, yeah.
And that one's always been easy for me. I've been a very ritualistic to a fault sometimes.
Right.
Like, I wake up at 7 o'clock, I meditate for an hour, I read for an hour and a half, and then I start my day up.
Wow,
you know, so it's like every day, Monday through Sunday, like that's what I'm doing. You know, so that one's always been good, easy for me. But the hard one about that is, again, just living ritualistically and not allowing the humanness of life to be there.
Right.
And to make that malleable. And, you know, where that shows up for me, or showed up for me a lot, and is something I'm currently working on, is that morning routine I just said. Because now my girlfriend Monica wants to wake up a little bit earlier, but now I'm stuck in my routine, and I've initially felt that as invasive. Like, you're in my time.
Right.
Like, I got up early because I know you don't get up early, so I'm not taking our time. And now you're getting up earlier, which takes my time.
Right,
you know?
Right.
But that's an opportunity for me to be like, well, it's all our time. No, nothing's my time.
Right.
You know, I don't have my time. I live in a humanity, in a civilization with people all around me.
Right.
Like, I don't have my own personal time. You know, so taking that construct away from it, it's like, okay, well, embrace it.
Love. Right.
You're the love of my life. I want to spend time with you. Let's get over here and do it.
Right.
You know?
Or you can wake up earlier, just be over there.
That's fine too.
And I'm going to be over here.
Yes. And we, you know, there is that honoring too, you know, as much as I do honor where she's at and opening up and waking up earlier, I still do like to have my personal time.
Right.
And
it's important.
Set that container.
It really, I mean, just, we live in a really, I love our cute little house. You know, we have a little backyard with a lemon tree and our own laundry and a driveway. So, you know, we're big time in SF. So, what I had, you know, had my schedule, we have our routine, you know, Lauren gets up and he has his morning and his rituals and his guys, his crew that, you know, they know, don't talk to me until I have my first sip of coffee, you know, like, you know, he's got his and I have mine and I try to have my day planned the night before. A little bit, you know, guidelines, because otherwise I'll just be like, oh, I have the whole morning, and then, fuck off, and then be like, shit, I should have done this, and this, you know, so, you know, again, guidelines, but my first appointment had canceled, and so I, you know, that morning, so, which is rare, So then I was like, okay, cool. Because I really wanted to do ba 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 ba. Mm-hmm. You know, like I used to get upset when people would cancel at the last minute because I was like, you know, like I need that money or, totally. You know, like that screws up my day, you know, like how the rest of my day was laid out, whatever. Mm-hmm. And now I just look at it as an opportunity of like, oh, okay, well, that sucks. And then that gives me time to XYZ. And so one day he decided, well, I don't know if he decided, but he wasn't feeling very well. And it was when Omicron was, okay. I call it Omicron, when Omicron was around.
We're homies.
The homies.
Omicron.
When Omicron was floating around, you know, he you know, was being cautious. Yep. And even though he is, has his own office and he's outside and, you know, the risk factor is low. And anyway, so he, you know, he's like, I'm going to work from home today. I'm like, baby, you know, a couple years ago when I first moved here, that would have been music to my ears. Like, you couldn't have stayed home enough for me. And now I've got my routine. I've got, you know, I've got my people. I've got, mm-hmm. I've got my, like you said, I've got my routine. And he stayed home and he types really fast. And I'm sitting at my desk trying to do my work. And I'm just like, what's with the fake typing?
I called him out.
I'm like, stop fake typing. And he's like, what are you talking about? This is how I type, you know? And I was just like, you know, you're in my bubble. This right. is my space. And he has, you know, he'll see sometimes online. He's like, I have no idea what goes on in this household. Like between you, because you know, our dog Izzy, you know, he's like, I don't know what you, the two, because she's my Velcro.
Yeah.
She's my sugar glider, you know? She's not far from me. Like, I stress out when I'm at work. Like, oh, I wonder how my dog's doing. I'm like, she's sitting at the window. She's right. taking a nap. Yeah. Like, she doesn't care. But, yeah, so he like, you know, this fake typing and totally effed up my routine. And so he went back to work the very next day.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's like, are you okay? You know, do you have Omicron? Like, what's going on? And he was like, no, I got kicked out. She looked at me and she said, you take that Omicron and you go back to work.
You're fast typing Omicron yeah, shit I'm elsewhere.
Like, my mama ain't got time for this shit. Like, you gots to go. When he does, you'll see like the furniture's all moved. I made our living room into a yoga studio.
Yeah.
He's like, what the hell goes on here? I'm like, go.
It's all normal when you get home.
Yeah,
but it's
it
fine.
It's like the house is totally dialed. You know, it's like candles burning, lava lamps are on, salt lamps, you know, like
in between, it's like
Benny
Hill song playing.
I've got sound bowls everywhere, yoga mats, you know, everything, all of our furniture is on sliders.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Like, literally, the couch is on sliders. You know, I had to call my dog walker one day. I was massaging someone. I had to, like, take a moment to text her and be like, can you move the couch so my dog can get to her window?
It's really easy. They're on silicone sliders. You'll be just fine.
That's what I said. They're on sliders. Just move it 6 inches so she can get through.
Oh, God damn it. I love that. I our fur babies. The next one is my favorite one. Mm-hmm. And Svadhyaya. Fun to say, mm-hmm. fun to do, right?
Fun
self-practice.
To do.
Love, yep. love, love self-practice.
Yep.
That's, I never was I never focused a lot on me growing up.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't good in school. Mm-hmm. I didn't really take care of my health in a strong way. I was heavy and then I lost weight, but my way of maintaining it was drug usage.
Right.
Yeah, not any like health way.
Right.
And so once I found like reading. I found reading in my mid-20s, and I know this might sound dumb, but I never realized the power of really understanding what you want to learn and why you want to learn it, and then attacking that.
Right.
Because always for school, it was like, you got to do this, you have to do this, right. you have to learn this, you have to read this, and then you have to do a report. It's like
right.
always this have to. It's never something I wanted
want
to do.
Want to, right.
And when I started reading, that really just opened up a whole new realm for me, and it was so beautiful, and it really like landed in my heart space, and I think it opened up a lot of doors for the understanding of how much I want to change. and work on myself mm-hmm. and how much work I needed to do on myself.
Right.
You know, I could definitely live in an alcohol haze and not really put attention to any of the traumas that I have and the triggers that I have. But I can also say, you know what? I got some shit I got to work on and I'm going to study myself and right. work on myself.
Right.
And you know, this is an external thing, even though it's self-study, you're bettering yourself, but how is that self showing up
right.
into the humanity? And then what are the ripple effects right. from that?
Oh, you took the words out of my mouth. You could see it on my lips.
Right
my lips were quivering.
Ripple.
The ripple effect. It's all about the ripple effect.
So good.
And it is if you self-study. Sorry, I'm yelling.
No, you're good. Get excited, girl. Get excited.
I got back up from the mic. Yeah. I'm just like, because it is. It's just so, I love self-study. I love svadhyaya, like nobody's business. Well, I went to massage school in San Diego and literally it was a hippie school. Mm-hmm. My majority of the teachers came from the Esalen up in Big Sur.
Okay.
Yeah, that big, super huge, especially in the 60s, hippie commune, just beautiful, beautiful. So that's where a lot of my teachers came from, was that. And even before we put our hands on, we had to do, it was somatic assimilation. And so we literally, they're like, you got to clean your own shit. You got to take care of your own house before you put your hands on people and transfer that to them.
That's great.
So if you don't figure out why you're whatever, or reactive or angry or, you know, whatever. I mean, because with body work, things come up and, you know, and it's that being able to hold the space for that person and not get into their energy field or transfer your stuff onto them kind of a thing. So really, you know, studying yourself to be that positive ripple effect to that next person so they can see and they can see and they can see. But yeah, it was really, we learned Tai Chi and did a lot of self-study before we did hands-on.
Yeah.
So, it is really important to, not just because of the body work, but just in general, just to see where you're coming from and why you act and react and to other people and how they are, you know, so.
Yep. That's, oh my God, that's super huge, especially with energy work. Like the beginning of my Reiki, taking clients, there's a few times where I definitely took on and put in some energy that didn't need to be there.
Right. Yeah.
And it took me a while to find the cleansing and the purifying techniques for myself that worked.
Right. Yeah.
But again, it went to that self-study. It had to look at me and say, okay, where's my ego at? Okay, ego, you're not driving the boat.
Right.
You're just a proxy just like everybody else.
Right.
It's the universal energy driving the
boat.
So the more you think you're doing it, the less you are actually doing
it. Right.
Get out of the way. Right. That was work I had to do to understand that. And so then I could show up better to my clients.
Right. Yeah. Constantly I'm pulling the collar of my own shirt and pulling myself out of my way. Like physically, I will pull my shirt and step from this point to this point because it's like, get out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Get out of the way.
Yep.
Steady that shit up. Why are you doing that? Get out of the way so the bus can move.
Definitely. You know, because we have, let's say in a perfect world, all of our five, you know, our five physical senses work great. Touch, smell, sight, all that shit, hearing, taste. But if it's coming in and then all that stuff is processed by our consciousness,
right?
It doesn't matter how clean, how passive, how peaceful the world is around us. If that information is being taken in and then processed by a muddled consciousness, that's going to show up as fear, as terror, as grief, right?
Right.
And so again, like doing that self-study, getting you right to where you can feel and understand all this information coming in a more pure way will allow you to show up as a human being that you really truly desire to be and not this reactionary human that a lot of us kind of find ourselves in.
Right.
Doesn't mean it's not going to happen still.
Oh, no.
We're still triggered.
I was triggered this morning. So, you know.
Yeah.
Like, you know, even knowing all the factors and doing all the work and it's still, I mean, it's
work.
We did better, you know, we did better, you know, and that's all I can ask for. you know, both of us, you mm-hmm. know, because both of us had to, both of us, I think, started singing because we knew it was going to get heated. Okay. And, you know, it was like, no, we don't even want to go there. It's just kind of the, you know, what we've been conditioned to.
Right.
And the action and the reaction. And then it just is that mm-hmm. spiral hamster wheel of bullshit. Yep. So, you know, both of us, like, he was singing his song and I was singing my song. And, you know, my mom's like, yeah. And I was like, no, we're just singing.
Yeah. We're getting through this, damn it.
We're singing loudly.
Oh, man.
Shakalaka.
Exactly. All right, our last one.
Yeah.
Our last neon. Probably the hardest one for me to say. Ishvara Pranidhana. Ishvara Pranidhana. And that is you're surrendering yourself to a higher power.
Yeah.
And that higher power, again, is up to you. It can be a god. It can be multiple gods. Right. It can be a deity of some sort. I think it's the universe, we can call it that.
The universe,
the light, you know?
The House of Fonz, baby.
House of fucking Fonz, man, right? What do you call it? What do you? I love the Church of the Spaghetti Monster, you know?
Yeah.
You know they call themselves Pastafarians? Isn't that fucking
That's
clever?
Awesome.
Isn't that clever? I fucking That's love it so much. Pastafarians. It's a real thing. The Church of the Spaghetti Monster. Right. They think that there's been this big spaghetti monster that lives in space that is dictating the world, the universe.
Hey, you know what? Why
I don't
not?
Know. Exactly. Don't, yeah. That's, you know, some people get so bent out of shape about, like, flat Earth and, like, the moon landing, blah, 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 this
right,
shit.
Right.
I respect the creativity of the human mind when shit like that comes up. It's not like I'm saying that I'm going to say on record, I don't agree with flat earthers. I don't think they're wrong. I just don't agree with them.
Right.
There's been so much stuff that proves them.
Right.
But I appreciate just the fact of that curiosity and that imagination of that brain to develop a concept like that. And then to get so many people to be behind that concept.
Right.
It's like, that's a good story.
Right.
We love a good story.
Yeah.
Humans love stories,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I love that one. That's one of my favorite ones. But with this, you know, I had a really checkered past with God, and I still
mm-hmm.
have a hard time saying that word.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in a higher power, but anytime I say the word God, I think of, like, white Christian God,
yeah.
omnipotent,
right.
gonna smite people,
right.
and, like, you know, worship and all this shit. And,
right.
and to me, that's not the higher power that I see. I don't see
right.
a higher power that is, you know, emboldened by somebody crawling to them and crying about the things that they've done.
Right.
I see that God going to that human voluntarily, holding that human and saying, I still love you.
Right. Right.
I've got nothing but love for you. I see what you've done and I still love you.
Yeah.
There's no need for remorse. There's no need for repentance. There's no need for anything
right.
because you are
my child.
Variation of of God,
yeah,
you know, of whatever that being is,
right,
you know,
of whatever, yeah.
And so that, you know, that for me, it took me a while to understand, and it's still, I still, again, cringe every once in a while when I say the word God,
right,
but
yeah.
But the higher power in general,
yeah,
that's something that once I felt it, was easy for me to say, okay, now I get it.
Yeah.
It's not me. This is something bigger.
Right.
Don't know what it is.
Right.
Don't know what I want to call it. You know,
right.
Fonz. We call it Fonz.
Right.
Yeah, that's great. You
right.
know,
well, I just say that because everybody wants to be cool.
Fuck yeah, man.
Hey.
I want to kick a jukebox and have it work.
Right?
You know, fucking who doesn't?
Hey.
That's a total God move.
Right? I mean, see, now you're picking up where I'm laying down, right?
It.
You're
fuck
like,
yeah.
this Maxwell chick, I don't know. She kind of goes a little sideways. But so I said, I'm like, I'm going to get into people's brains, whether it's Max Wellness or Maxwell. Like Costanza. Max Wellness.
Oh, I love that.
And then you're like, damn it, Maxwell.
Yeah.
Like, either way, I got you.
I'm sinking in.
I'm getting my little claws in there. I'm getting my little tentacles.
Well, so has the idea of a higher power always been something in your life?
I have struggled with that since I was knee high to a grasshopper.
Mm-hmm.
The struggle is still real. I've been to, with lots of friends, different types of churches, whether it's Catholic or I don't even know what. I mean, literally, I just show up and,
right.
Yes, again, that's still why I go to the House of Fawns, because I don't know. I think for me, and you know, it's like, okay, and just everyone bear with me because I'm working through it. So it's not to offend anyone. It's just this is my process, my path, and that I'm working through. But you know, it's just it's that damn hell nation kind of a thing, you know. Right. I don't feel like that's
fire and brimstone.
Yeah, like know, which, and it. Then to have all the spinoffs, it's like, well, you know, Martin Luther, he's like, nah, you know, I don't really buy that. It's more like this, and you know how all the spinoffs of all the different religions that came from maybe Catholicism or something, you know, because I'm like, oh, well, then I think I'd be more of a Lutheran, and then you know, someone talks about it, and I'm like, oh no, I think I would be Jewish. Oh no, I think I would be Buddhist, you know, right, or whatever, right. You know. So it's I don't shut down to the idea of it. It's just more just trying to have that faith.
Right.
You know, I have a faith. I don't know. I just don't have a label for it.
Right.
Yeah. You know, it is going back to circle around from the very beginning, just opening up my palm to hold my Jello and see what is. Versus trying to grip on and right. and cause that frustration and anger and angst and whatever you want to call it. You know, we're here. It's like, okay, I've got... For all the ladies out there, if you don't understand what I mean by holding your palm open with your Jello, how about a thorny rose? Can right. you hold a thorny rose with a closed fist or an open palm?
Right.
You know, I have to, you know, change it up. Well, I like Jello. Other women, you know, she's like, this one woman, she's like, I don't get it.
And I was
like,
I don't understand what this Jello
yeah,
is.
Yeah, she's like, what the fuck? And I was like, oh, how about a thorny rose? And she's like, got it. Yeah. Stick your ice. You know,
there you go. You know, there's an analogy out there
there's
for
something.
You.
There's, you know, so I struggle. I still struggle. And, you know, I want to believe. Mm-hmm. And if it means, you know, then like I've taken classes and, you know, talk about the Atman and you're the Atman and right, I'm right. the Atman. And it's like, well, you know, then doesn't that kind of go down to the religious path? You know, so it's.
Do you remember the movie Dogma?
Mm-hmm.
Came out a number of years ago, yeah, maybe late 90s.
Yeah, I was going to say probably the 90s.
Yeah, Kevin Smith yeah. movie. But yep. So there was a, you know, it's kind of a comedy, but there's a really. I don't want to call it profound line, but there's a line in there that's really stuck with me. And so Ben Affleck and Matt Damon are playing archangels of some sort, right? And I want to say Ben Affleck is more the jaded angel, and Matt Damon's character is more of the what we would consider the pure angel, right?
Right.
Trying to get Ben Affleck back and all this stuff. And one of the dialogues between them, they're talking about religion, and Matt Damon's character says. It's, in my opinion, it's better to have ideas than beliefs. People die over beliefs, but an idea can be changed with new information, right? Mm. And that's what I feel about religion, yeah. is that religion is such in this box of, it has to be this.
Right.
Here's your parameters. There's no outside of this box.
Right.
But information comes in all the time. Like, religion has been around for thousands of years. How
right.
much has changed in thousands of years that we're still archaically looking at the
right.
way we have been?
Right.
Right. But if we have these ideas, I don't know. Like we said earlier, I have no idea if there's a God, if there's a universal spirit, if there's a
right.
an afterlife of anything.
Right.
But I have the idea that there is.
Right.
And so with that, the more information comes in, the more I can, you know, change and adjust that idea.
Right,
but if I'm
right.
hard set into my belief, I'm concreted in,
right.
then no information can come in.
Right.
No, get away from me.
Right.
I don't care what we just invented to now understand what dark matter is and how that religiously, you know, coincides with God. No,
right.
no. That wasn't around in 2 BC. Now we can't have that information.
Right,
in.
Right.
Get fucked, right?
Right.
You know, and that's
right.
so, and I know it's not that strict, but
right.
that's, there's
yeah.
a lot of it. That they just, you know, we just can't see outside because we've already made our rules.
Right.
What I feel it really boils down to is, you know, there's so many ways to look at life. Atheist,
right.
religious, spiritual, non-secular, like whatever you want to label yourself as. It doesn't matter to me. All I care about is, are you conscious of your actions and are you trying?
Right.
Trying. You don't even have to be a good human. Are you trying?
Are you trying?
Right. Do you understand that you have anger issues and you're trying? You still spout out every once in a while,
right.
I love you and I'm going to send you love. I might not be able to spend all day with you.
Right.
But I still love you.
Yeah.
Work on that anger.
Right.
That's great. You're aware of it.
Right.
I understand that I work too much. I can't just stop working all the time because I have clients I've built up. I have regularities. I have expectations, but I can start to manage that and back that down a little bit and work on that myself.
Right.
So again, religion, spirituality, non-dogmatic, doesn't fucking matter. Are you living the life that you want to? Are you proud of the human being that you're showing up as?
Right.
And if you're not, that's great. Work on it.
Yeah.
Use that as a guideline, as a checkbox. Okay, so I show up and I lose my temper. I show up and sometimes I steal time from other people by making them hear the story that I feel should be told.
Right. Right.
Cool. All right. Anybody else got a story to tell? No? Cool. Now I'm going to tell you my story because I gave him the opportunity. But give the opportunity first, you know?
Like,
how are you going to show up? What are you going to work on?
Right.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Well, thank you, Ms. Erin Maxwell.
Thank you. Woo! We covered a lot.
Beautiful,
in
beautiful
a
journey.
Big, in a short amount of time. Those are some big, heavy, they can be. Not heavy, just...
Yeah, they're big movements.
You know?
And it's good to just focus on them.
Yeah.
You know, and I think I don't know if this was on tape earlier, but you know, the person I was talking with or listening to was working through the yamas and niyamas one per month, and focusing on that one in their meditation in the morning, and saying, okay, so for ahimsa, you know, how is ahimsa going to land with me today? For that entire month, and then move on to the next one.
Right. And you know, for me, like you, I really like that. I think I'm going to do that. I think I'm really going to focus in, like you said, on the one a month. And it is though, like for me, when I'm out in the world and I want to do something, or maybe I have a tendency of doing something that I know, you know, it's more like, I just want to see if I can get away with it kind of a thing. You know, it's just more, can I still get away with this?
Right.
And then I come back to this, you know, ahimsa or santosha or brahmachari, you know, whatever that thing is. And it's like, I'm not going to do it. I've been down this before. Yes, I'm going to get that hit. You know, I'll get that hit of adrenaline and I'm going to feel awesome at that moment because I'm like, fuck yeah, I did it, you know, but then I'm going to go on the hamster wheel of like, oh God, you know, I did this. I knew better. Why did I do that? What did it feel?
Right.
What was that need? Why do I feel like, you know, I used to feel like, oh, I'm so sick and tired of being the sweet, innocent girl, you know? And so, you know, going down.
I've had those moments. Yep. Mm-hmm. I'm the nice guy. I keep getting fucked over. So now I'm going to be the asshole.
Right.
I'm like, well, now I'm definitely not being authentic. I'm playing a character that's not even being played well.
Right.
I'm a terrible asshole.
I'm not a very good asshole. I'm too good at being an asshole.
Actually, that's exactly.
So I'm just kind of like, I like being this, I like being happy and jokey. So this was great. I hope the, you know, the sticky rice, grab on to what you can to and run with it, and know that the rest are in your back pocket and it's there for you when you're ready for it.
Yep. My buddy Robin says life's the longest thing you're going to do, you know? So what are you going to do with that life?
I love it.
You know?
Yeah.
Find something to work on, start working on it.
Yep.
Well, thank you again, love.
Thank you.
We'll see you next time.
See ya. Thank you.
Thank you so much for spending time with Erin and I. If you're digging the podcast, please hit like, subscribe, share it, or leave me a comment. Obeisance and love to y'all. We'll see you next time.